When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley and Kieran Gibbs. We'll kick things off at Wembley, the semi-final in the FA Cup. We see Manchester City take on Chelsea. This was a horrible game. Really bad performance from Manchester City, but a couple of big missed opportunities from Nico Jackson would prove to be costly for Pochettino's side. Bernardo Silva would score late in the tie, and that would be enough to see Manchester City once again through to an FA Cup final win. Let's get some reaction. We're here from Pochettino in a moment, but first, here's Kevin De Bruyne.
Well, Kevin, congratulations. I know that's not easy, because when we saw Kyle Walker walk off, he said to one of your coaches or physios, "I'm dead." So I know you guys, it was a leggy experience, but coming from Wednesday, how good does this feel now? Another final.
Oh, I think today was all about character. I know we didn't play the best performance that we could play, but I think it's normal. We were unquestionable tired after Wednesday, but you know, still then we found a way to win and to go back to the final, as I just think is a great sign of character today.
I was going to say, because even when the body is not there mentally, you guys seem stronger than ever, like nothing phases you. Do you think that that's something that probably sets you apart from some of the other teams?
Well, it's difficult to say how other teams look at it. I think we've shown over the years that we can perform after setbacks. Obviously, we wanted to go through on Wednesday, but I think the way that we performed against Madrid was really, really good. And obviously, when you play penalties, is a lottery, it's 50-50. And Madrid went through. And, you know, today you play with a bit sadness after Wednesday, but today you are happy that you go back to the final, and it's good.
Maurizio, commiserations, but I imagine you're scratching your head as to how you lost that game, aren't you?
No, it's so easy to explain. I think we concede in a moment that you should not concede. We didn't work able to be clinical front to the goal. I think we created many chances, but we didn't score. That is describe why we lose the game. A game that overall I think a little bit better or deserve more, but in football it's not about to deserve, it's about to be, you know, clinical, and we didn't today.
As a manager, can you do any more when you're creating the quality of chances you did create but just not taking them?
Well, I think it's about, last Monday we scored 6 and today we were not capable. We are maybe with same chances or more clear chances to score. That is football.
Frank Leboeuf joins us. We'll hear Frank in a moment. How much was this about Manchester City, as Kevin De Bruyne said, showing character and resilience after a tough week, or Chelsea completely and utterly dropping the ball?
It was about Chelsea blowing it, but blowing a great opportunity like they blew in the Carabao Cup final against a team, Liverpool. When you looked at it, you went, well, that's not the first choice midfield, that's not the first choice defence. And then as the game wore on, it was like, here's a bunch of kids coming on, and they blew that from a decent position, and they've blown this. They will never... Any team playing Manchester City is unlikely ever to get this opportunity of them being so wasteful with the ball, with being so sluggish, looking tired, and they played 120 minutes, and I'm not knocking that, but that's how they were. Barely creating any chances, had no shots on target in the first half, and Chelsea had... Well, Chelsea were not brilliant, but they created enough chances. One guy in particular, Nico Jackson, to win this game, and they completely blew it.
Frank, from a Chelsea perspective, such a frustrating 90 minutes, because Manchester City, as Craig says, was there for the taking, but you just couldn't get it over the line.
Yeah, big time, Daniel. I mean, it's crazy, and it's been that for more than a season, where you cannot finish an action. You are there is a lack of efficiency in the last third, and they create chances but are not able to score. And Nicholas Jackson, Palmer had also a big chance in the first half, even if I thought maybe he could have played the penalty. But yeah, it must be frustrating for the players, because they played against a tired Manchester City. They had chances to score, but they've not been helped. I don't agree with Craig on the penalty and maybe another one. But yeah, they have to score. They have to finish the action. It's the game of football. Football is not keeping the ball. They didn't have the possession of the ball, but I think they're dominating in terms of chances. But Foden had one chance on target the first half. That was it. And Manchester City, at a certain point, we are nowhere near it in that game. Chelsea was better, but again, and we see it, they cannot finish an action.
They can't finish an action, Kieran. Chelsea players, supporters alike will be looking at this and think they've really missed an opportunity against a City team who weren't even in second gear.
Yeah, I think Craig and Frank summed it up pretty well there. I think the disappointing thing for me was conceding in the last 10 minutes.
Right.
Knowing that Manchester City have just played a quarter-final of a Champions League against Real Madrid and gone into extra time, you know, if you can get them into extra time in this game a few days later, they're going to be absolutely dead. They're going to be even more tired. So, you know, you have to read that and say, OK, let's just get it into extra time. And, you know, we may have a chance then. So I think that just comes down to that game management that we talk about and that lack of maturity to realise that and then concede in such late stages is the biggest shame for me for Chelsea's point of view.
Is City going to be OK? Was this just kind of a one-off? Wednesday obviously took a lot out of them. They got Brighton away on Thursday.
Couple of pints.
Fish and chips on the way home, be all right.
I mean, I just get this sports scientist, get them out of my face for a couple of days and go and just... They look like they just need to chill for a little bit.
Right.
And then just recharge the batteries as best you can. It's not a long time, but a day or two. They definitely need a couple of days rest. And I think they're going to be fine. There's going to be a big push now to the end of the season in terms of the Premier League. FA Cup final beckons. We'll find out tomorrow who they're going to get. But I think they should be OK. But there is no doubt. And you know, Guardiola before this game touched on a little bit on the performance or the sort of feelings around the exit from the Champions League.
Yeah. Disappointing was the word that was put to him. And he goes, you can't be disappointed when we play like that.
I was trying to say there was no disappointment because they played so well and blah, blah, blah. Well, come on. We've all sort of been there. You can't hide the disappointment when you go out. But I also think, you know, we had... Haaland was out today and couldn't finish the game. De Bruyne couldn't finish the game against Real Madrid and somehow got man of the match today.
I don't know who picked that.
I don't know who. Man of the match had just been abandoned today. Somebody should just went, whoever was picking it said, I'm not picking one, I refuse.
Well, you should get Nico Jackson, Manchester City's best player.
Just to make it. And so, you know, there's a few of these players that are not quite on song. Now, De Bruyne has had 4 or 5 months off this year. He's came back, did well. Then, you know, was ill for the Real Madrid game. Can he pick himself up and go all the way? Are we expecting Haaland to come? Because he was very guarded, the manager, when somebody asked him before the game, what about Erling Haaland?
Thursday.
How long's the injury? He went, I don't know. You don't speak to your medical team? Of course he knows. So he's a little bit guarded about things, and obviously Arsenal have won. We'll get to that. So there's a bit of pressure on. But, you know, it wasn't vintage City by a million miles, but they've dug it out.
Yeah.
They've dug it out today, and Chelsea have... Listen, at the end of the day, we can talk about decisions, we can talk about this, that and the next thing. Chelsea have missed a trick.
Yeah, and that's the disappointing thing overall, isn't it, Frank? I suppose what disappointed you the most today?
Yeah, because clearly they could have gone through and reached the final, especially against that team, was tired. And and you have so many chances and so many opportunities to finish the job. And there is a lack of experience, a lack of confidence maybe. I mean, the action that we all see about Jackson trying to dribble the goalkeeper, but at the end not shooting, coming back. If you are confident, you don't wonder. You are spontaneous. You don't think. It's natural, and it's not. And that's what I'm upset about. Well, I'm frustrated about, and I guess the players are too. It's because you had so many chances to score, and as Kieran alluded, try at least to go to the extra time. You know, be strong. You've been strong. Defensively, they've done the job, really. From the goalkeeper to the defense, nothing to complain about. But you have to have that experience that they don't have to reach the extra time to make sure that you finish City because they're tired.
What did you think about the handball appeal? The one on Jack Grealish, Frank?
Well, I didn't know about the explanation of the referee or maybe the board of the referee. Mr. Webb will have to explain. You know, I was a football player, and I'm sorry, he doesn't put his arm back to his body to avoid the handball. He's, as a reflex, he goes to the ball. And that's what it is, because he can't reach with his body, so he takes it with his hand, with his arm. For me, it's a clear penalty. He deflects the ball, and it's what it is nowadays, and that's the rule.
The referee, of course, not sent to the monitor. What was interesting after the game, Kieran, is Pep Guardiola really angry about this game being played on Saturday after a Wednesday Champions League game. You've been there, you've done that. We've seen other leagues, for example, next week, Real Madrid's game is going to be moved to a Friday so they can prepare for the game against Bayern in that semi-final. Has Pep got a point?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The fact that the other teams don't play at all in Europe is even more his point. You know, we talk about the replay thing in the FA Cup and how they're removing that to benefit, you know, the top teams. But this is something that has to be changed. You have to be able to take care of these players, because otherwise you just get performances like that from Manchester City, which no one wants to see.
Right.
You know, they looked completely dead today. And if they would have had an extra day, they would have probably been a lot more healthier going into the game, and we would have seen a better game for the fans. So, yeah, Pep's right. They have to change that.
It's interesting because it does damage the... Today's game was terrible. It wasn't good at all. How much can you use the fact that they played on Wednesday and that should be taken into consideration? How much is that a conversation?
Well, I mean, you can't ignore the tiredness. You can't just disguise it. But there's two sides to this. And there is no doubt in England in particular, they do not do enough to support their clubs in this scenario. You mentioned other leagues. They do it better. But they're not, to me, and maybe I'm wrong in this, they're not bound by the TV pressure, because their money is not as astronomical as it is in England. And that's really driven a lot of this. I don't think it is right, and I think more has to be done with it, but it's Section 2-3s. Teams are looking after themselves and the players, and as Guardiola said, the welfare of the players and the spectacle, and then TV companies are looking after the product, and it's a difficult one. The other angle of it is they only made three subs today.
Right.
And so there has been times where Guardiola has moaned about fixture congestion and maybe made one substitution when he can make five. So, you know, there is two sides to that. It is not ideal, but yeah, I think looking forward, they need to be able to be more flexible with the schedule, the governing bodies, be it the FA, the Premier League. There needs to be more flexibility. There needs to be more discussions and communication with the TV networks to say, how can we figure this out to make this product better, not only for the Cup, but for the Champions League, but for the domestic league competition as well? Because it has a roll on to everything. Mm. Few will have sympathy.
No.
Because of who they are,
yep.
And the money and the players, and I understand that.
And that money is because of the TV, right?
It is because of the TV, but it is not just Manchester City. This happens to many clubs, and it's far from an ideal situation.
Frank, what did you want to add?
Yeah, I agree with the guys. And for me, the best example was Kyle Walker, you know, he's the fastest guy I ever seen, you know, maybe competing with Mbappe. And we saw at the end of the game, suffering against Nicholas Jackson. And maybe we could talk about another penalty because he pushed him. When he had full speed, you know, he could have been a penalty. But Kyle Walker, at his best, would have had no problem dealing with that race against Nicholas Jackson. And that you could see that City players were very tired.
What now for Chelsea, Frank? Between now and the end of the season, obviously Arsenal up next. That's it. The season's pretty much done, isn't it?
Yeah. Disturbing maybe the title, being fair, not pleasing Kieran Gibbs by winning against the Gunners. But or otherwise, you know, yeah. I mean, I saw Pochettino saying that he wants some experienced players, you know, if he could be heard by the board and Todd Boehly or whoever, that would be nice because that's what they need desperately. So preparing next season, because there's been two awful seasons and Chelsea cannot do that another year.
But they're still playing for Europe, aren't they?
Well, kind of.
I mean, I know.
Yeah, if you're going to spin, if you're going to be Chelsea TV, you can say, look, we can still push. And
no, I'm not definitely not Chelsea.
No, I know. I'm not accusing you of that.
No, but I mean, we're just, you know, we've got to be careful if we say they've nothing to play for.
No, that's very true.
Because, you know, yes. Pochettino's hanging on to something.
Yes.
He has to hang on and to something. And I suppose, as well as maybe the outside European places, the spoiler could be this big London derby coming up. We've seen Manchester United not derail Liverpool, but knock them out of the FA Cup, and then obviously taking points off them in the league. And we know Man United are not like Chelsea, not a very good side. So there are still things that they need to hang their hat on. And that's me trying to find
some very
positive.
I know, it's very unlike you, Burley.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Last year we saw the final, of course, was Manchester City against Manchester United. It, of course, could happen again. According to the bookies, United very much the favourites, of course, in that second semi-final tomorrow. And they are odds-on favourite, according to ESPN Bet. You can watch that game live on ESPN+. Plus, our coverage starts at 10 a.m. Eastern. It's a busy day tomorrow because not only do we have that tie, we have the Clásico as well. Real Madrid taking on Barcelona at the Santiago Bernabeu. Real Madrid favourites going into that tie. And of course, a win would all but guarantee them La Liga title. Barcelona just looking to push them all the way. For more on this, let's go live to Madrid now to Gemma Soler and Luis Garcia.
Hola, Dan. We're delighted to be back here. In our back is the Santiago Bernabeu. And tomorrow at this time, we would already know who has won El Clásico and also if there is a title race or not. I think at this time, do you have the same feeling, Luis, that Real Madrid are arriving at this game, at this capital match, as a huge favourites?
I wouldn't say huge. Favorite always. When Real Madrid is playing at the Bernabeu, is always favorite. They are in a fantastic moment. They just knocked out one of the best teams, if not the best team in Europe, Manchester City. They got a fantastic gap between them and Barcelona and Girona. They were the ones that were trying to have a, or put a race with them. a bad issue that right after, and I've been trying to explain myself, and I received so much stick because everyone say no, because Barcelona is out of the race, and I think that is true. It's a big gap, difficult to manage, but I think that after the game that we saw the other day, with that intensity that they played, 120 minutes with only 4 days, players that were out, they were changed because they were feeling cramps, they were so tired, and you have to look after. I think that that gives an opportunity to Barcelona that needs to win this game. Hmm. We have to say it this way. They need to win this game. If not, this season it will be a total failure.
Yeah, it's a final, of course, for Barcelona. And I think we cannot imagine a game where Ancelotti, Real Madrid, play like they did at the Etihad Stadium. They need to propose. They need to play attacking game at their home.
Yeah, they should. They should. I mean, I've been hearing so many things in the last couple of days after the performance of Real Madrid that, yeah, they deserve to go forward because they were the best game, the best team, even though that if you're talking about a romantic side of football, it wasn't the best performance at all from Real Madrid. The best performance about football. Fantastic defense, fantastic way of handling the situation, the emotion, the feelings. A total solid performance from Real Madrid. We can call it this way, solid performance.
Yeah.
But I guess that after so many years complaining about Atletico Madrid, boss parked at the back, Simeone's style, we cannot, all the fans, I'm sure that they will not be very happy if they see another performance like that one playing at the Bernabeu against Barcelona. So I'm expecting Real Madrid to go to play against this Clásico with a little bit more of attacking football, with a little bit more of intention of trying to get the 3 points.
So let's go with the lineups, because of course you talk about that physicality of Real Madrid. They had one less day of rest and an extra time, a very demanding game in England, plus the travel. So this is the possible starting 11 for Real Madrid, with Lunin in the defense, Mendy, Tchouaméni, Rudiger, Carvajal, Bellingham, Kroos, Valverde, Camavinga, Vinicius Junior and Rodrigo. What do you think about this?
Not many changes. I don't see many changes from the game in the midweek. Honestly, I mean, we cannot understand. On these days, the teams and the clubs, they have so many options, so many data about how the players feel. There is a machine who tells you if a muscle is tired or not, and which muscle is tired or have the risk of getting injured. So that's the amount of data that the clubs have. Us from outside, we can say, if I'm the manager, I would rest Vini Junior, I would rest Carvajal, I would rest Rodrigo, because they are very important players for the next coming weeks. You cannot allow them to. They are key players if you want to win this Champions League competition. And Carvajal couldn't even walk outside of the pitch. He has to take his time to get out of the field. So I think that you don't need to risk. There is a massive gap. You got players good enough to put a good performance against Barcelona. We are talking about Joselu, that he showed during the whole season that he's a good player, a player who can give you something. Brahim Diaz, that he's been outstanding every single time that he was on the field. So I think that you can rotate a little bit the team and give opportunity to players who haven't been involved. So I would say that I think that there's going to be a couple more changes than what we've seen so far.
Okay, and let's have a look to the Barcelona one. Of course, they need to, it's a final. They need to go with everything they got.
Everything.
So my doubt here is, will he be using again Christensen as a holding midfielder? And the other question is going to be benched Pedri? Because I cannot imagine Yamin Lamal being back, not on the starting 11 after what happened on Tuesday.
No, me neither. I think that Lamine needs to be there, needs to be right there in the right side. And Rafinha has proven in the past month that he can play also in the left side, he can play in the midfield. The war rate is fantastic, but he's also scoring goals. So I think that three players up front, they're going to be there. The problem in the middle of the park is exactly that one. When you play against Real Madrid, those quick transitions are difficult to manage, and we've seen Barcelona suffering on that. Xavi, I think they did a great job bringing Christensen into the middle as a holding midfielder to help the defense be a little bit more solid. That's something important. And Pedri, the other day, I think that we could see that he wasn't 100%. He was struggling. And when you see those quick transitions ups and downs from Paris Saint-Germain, you understand, because he's been out for such a long time, and he's not a player who can keep that. He's a player who can have the ball, who is the one in charge of creating things, who give that possession, that control to Barcelona. When you play against Real Madrid, you need also those box-to-box players. So that's why Gundogan or the young can be involved and can have that power, that strength that is needed. So I could see Pedri be benched and maybe play in the second half and give that credential in front of the midfield to be more solid.
So yesterday in the show you predicted a Barcelona win. It's just 24 hours. We're very close to Santiago Bernabeu. Have you changed your mind?
No, not yet. I understand. I know the Cray, Dan, they were complaining that because I'm a Barcelona fan, because I've been part of the team. But it's not. I see it this way. After a Clásico is a totally different game. Mm-hmm. Anything can happen. Both teams, it doesn't matter how you arrive. Barcelona can arrive this moment, can receive four the same way they can score four, and we've seen it in the past. But I think that because of that extra day of resting, because Barcelona need to win this game, I think that they're going to bring an extra mile for the game, and they're going to make it. So I would love to see Barcelona winning, not because I'm a Barcelona fan, that as well, but because I want to see closing that gap and see a more exciting race.
Exciting race for La Liga. And then don't be too harsh on Luis. He had a terrible week. Barcelona knockout of the Champions League. Liverpool. be gentle for once.
No, he's just trying to persuade. And it's not because I used to play for Barcelona or I'm Barcelona. I just want to see a good, solid La Liga title race. That's all about the people, isn't it? Luis, thank you very much. Saturday night now. Madrid's just getting started. Guys, what are you up to?
Yeah, I mean, some tapas, some drinks, but just early one because we have a tough
we work
day
tomorrow.
The game's late tomorrow. Come on. You're not playing. It's all right.
That's like John Champion. He told me off once in South Africa for drinking too much red wine.
Right.
He said, we've got a game tomorrow. He said, we're commentating. We're not playing.
Thank you very much, guys. Much appreciated. Just a reminder, if you're in the Los Angeles area and want a fun El Clasico experience, make sure to check out Downtown Disney Live Stage and Lawn, where La Liga legends and celebrities will be in attendance, and will also be broadcasting centre for ESPN Deportes' El Clasico coverage. And then what a show. It's so much going on tomorrow. We will be
here. I'll tell you what, it was good. So much fun in Los Angeles and then us.
Oh, there we go. That's standard though, isn't it? Be sure to join us at the full-time whistle of a Clasico for ESPN FC.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Last year we saw the final, of course, was Manchester City against Manchester United. It, of course, could happen again. According to the bookies, United very much the favourites, of course, in that second semi-final tomorrow. And they are odds-on favourite, according to ESPN Bet. You can watch that game live on ESPN+. Our coverage starts at 10 a.m. Eastern. It's a busy day tomorrow because not only do we have that tie, we have the Clásico as well. Real Madrid taking on Barcelona at the Santiago Bernabeu. Real Madrid favourites going into that tie. And of course, a win would all but guarantee them La Liga title. Barcelona just looking to push them all the way. For more on this, let's go live to Madrid now to Gemma Soler and Luis Garcia.
Hola, Dan. We're delighted to be back here in our back is the Santiago Bernabeu. And tomorrow at this time, we would already know who has won El Clásico and also if there is a title race or not. I think at this time, do you have the same feeling, Luis, that Real Madrid are arriving at this game, at this capital match, as a huge favourite?
I wouldn't say huge. Favorite always. When Real Madrid is playing at the Bernabeu, is always favorite. They are in a fantastic moment. They just knocked out one of the best teams, if not the best team in Europe, Manchester City. They got a fantastic gap between them and Barcelona and Girona. They were the ones that were trying to have or put a race with them. But it's true that right after, and I've been trying to explain myself, and I received so much stick because everyone say no, because Barcelona is out of the race. And I think that is true. It's a big gap, difficult to manage. But I think that after the game that we saw the other day, with that intensity that they played, 120 minutes with only 4 days, players that were out, they were changed because they were feeling cramps, they were so tired, and you have to look after. I think that that gives an opportunity to Barcelona that needs to win this game. We have to say it this way, they need to win this game. If not, this season it will be a total failure.
Yeah, it's a final, of course, for Barcelona. And I think we cannot imagine a game where Ancelotti, Real Madrid, play like they did at the Etihad Stadium. They need to propose. They need to play attacking game at their home.
Yeah, they should. They should. I mean, I've been hearing so many things in the last couple of days after the performance of Real Madrid that, yeah, they deserve to go forward because they were the best game, the best team, even though that if you're talking about a romantic side of football, it wasn't the best performance at all from Real Madrid. The best performance about football. Fantastic defense, fantastic way of handling the situation, the emotion, the feelings. A total solid performance from Real Madrid. We can call it this way, solid performance.
Yeah.
But I guess that after so many years complaining about Atletico Madrid, boss parked at the back, Simeone's style, we cannot, all the fans, I'm sure that they will not be very happy if they see another performance like that one playing at the Bernabeu against Barcelona. So I'm expecting Real Madrid to go to play against this Clásico with a little bit more of attacking football, with a little bit more of intention of trying to get the 3 points.
So let's go with the lineups, because of course you talk about that physicality of Real Madrid. They had one less day of rest and an extra time, a very demanding game in England, plus the travel. So this is the possible starting 11 for Real Madrid, with Lunin in the defence, Mendy, Tchouameni, Rudiger, Carvajal, Bellingham, Kroos, Valverde, Camavinga, Vinicius Junior and Rodrigo. What do you think about this?
Not many changes. I don't see many changes from the game in the midweek. Honestly, I mean, we cannot understand. On these days, the teams and the clubs, they have so many options, so many data about how the players feel. There is a machine who tells you if a muscle is tired or not, and which muscle is tired or have the risk of getting injured. So that's the amount of data that the clubs have. Us from outside, we can say, if I'm the manager, I would rest Vini Junior, I would rest Carvajal, I would rest Rodrigo, because they are very important players for the next coming weeks. You cannot allow them to. They are key players if you want to win this Champions League competition. And Carvajal couldn't even walk outside of the pitch. He has to take his time to get out of the field. So I think that you don't need to risk. There is a massive gap. You got players good enough to put a good performance against Barcelona. We are talking about Joselu, that he showed during the whole season that he's a good player, a player who can give you something. Brahim Diaz, that he's been outstanding every single time that he was on the field. So I think that you can rotate a little bit the team and give opportunity to players who haven't been involved. So I would say that I think that there's going to be a couple more changes than what we've seen so far.
Okay, and let's have a look to the Barcelona one. Of course, they need to, it's a final. They need to go with everything they got.
Everything.
So my doubt here is, will he be using again Christensen as a holding midfielder? And the other question is going to be benched Pedri? Because I cannot imagine Yamin Lamal being back, not on the starting 11 after what happened on Tuesday.
No, me neither. I think that Lamine needs to be there, needs to be right there in the right side. And Rafinha has proven in the past month that he can play also in the left side, he can play in the midfield. The war rate is fantastic, but he's also scoring goals. So I think that three players up front, they're going to be there. The problem in the middle of the park is exactly that one. When you play against Real Madrid, those quick transitions are difficult to manage, and we've seen Barcelona suffering on that. Xavi, I think they did a great job bringing Christensen into the middle as a holding midfielder to help the defense be a little bit more solid. That's something important. And Pedri, the other day, I think that we could see that he wasn't 100%. He was struggling. And when you see those quick transitions, ups and downs from Paris Saint-Germain, you understand, because he's been out for such a long time, and he's not a player who can keep that. He's a player who can have the ball, who is the one in charge of creating things, who give that possession, that control to Barcelona. When you play against Real Madrid, you need also those box-to-box players. So that's why Gundogan or the young can be involved and can have that power, that strength that is needed. So I could see Pedri be benched and maybe play in the second half and give that Christensen in front of the midfield to be more solid.
So yesterday in the show you predicted a Barcelona win. It's just 24 hours. We're very close to Santiago Bernabeu. Have you changed your mind?
No, not yet. I understand. I know the Cray, Dan, they were complaining that because I'm a Barcelona fan, because I've been part of the team. But it's not. I see it this way. After a Clásico is a totally different game. Mm-hmm. Anything can happen. Both teams, it doesn't matter how you arrive. Barcelona can arrive this moment, can receive four, the same way they can score four. And we've seen it in the past. But I think that because of that extra day of resting, because Barcelona need to win this game, I think that they're going to bring an extra mile for the game, and they're going to make it. So I would love to see Barcelona winning, not because I'm a Barcelona fan, that as well, but because I want to see closing that gap and see a more exciting
we
race.
Want,
until
yeah, of yes, course, we want an exciting race for La Liga. And then don't be too harsh on Luis. He had a terrible week. Barcelona knockout of the Champions League. Liverpool. be gentle for once.
No, he's just trying to persuade. And it's not because I used to play for Barcelona or on Barcelona. I just want to see a good, solid La Liga title race. Yeah. That's all about the people, isn't it? Luis, thank you very much. Saturday night now in Madrid. It's just getting started, guys. What are you up to?
Yeah, I mean, some tapas, some drinks, but just early one because we have a tough
we work
day
tomorrow.
So.
Oh, the game's late tomorrow. Come on.
Listen, you're
come
not on. Playing.
You're not playing. It's all right.
That's the John Champion. He told me off once in South Africa for drinking too much red wine.
Right.
He said, we've got a game tomorrow.
Well,
he said, we're commentating. We're not playing.
Yeah. Thank you very much, guys. Much appreciated. Just a reminder, if you're in the Los Angeles area and want a fun El Clasico experience, make sure to check out Downtown Disney Live Stage and Lawn, where La Liga legends and celebrities will be in attendance, and will also be broadcasting centre for ESPN Deportes' El Clasico coverage. And then what a show. It's so much going on tomorrow. We will be
here. I'll tell you what, it was good. So much fun in Los Angeles and then us.
Oh, there we go. That's standard, though, isn't it? Be sure to join us at the full-time whistle of a Clasico for ESPN FC.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Given their form leading up to this tie at Molineux, it was a big test for Arsenal against Wolves, a test that they would pass with a 2-0 victory. Trossard with a really important goal just before the break to give them the lead. Odegaard late on in the tie would seal the deal. 3 points then for Arteta's side. And it's a victory that puts them top of the Premier League table, clear of Manchester City by 1 point. Liverpool in action on Sunday away against Fulham.
Yeah.
Frank LeBeuf and his beautiful tan back with us.
This is not good, Daniel.
What's not good?
I'm going to sit out here.
Okay.
I'm only going to say one thing.
Right.
And then I'm going to go behind the curtain.
Okay.
This is a problem.
Oh, what's the problem?
Arsenal are top of the league. And this man has been piping on for months that that's not good.
I know. You don't like them being
top of
the league.
You like to have
you
them
like
coming
them chasing.
From chasing from behind.
Not at this stage.
Oh, not this stage. 6 games to go. Oh, man. They got the job after what happened against Bayern, how poor they were. It was about the result more than the performance day, wasn't it?
At this stage of the season, for me, it's all about just getting the result. It's just about getting the result. I mean, listen, you have to give them credit for getting the result today. They've shown big character. I think it was this time almost identical last year where they dropped. They had those three games against Liverpool, West Ham and Southampton. And they dropped those points. And that was kind of the end of the title race for them. And this is a clear sign that, you know, they've gone over that little hurdle. You know, it's been a tough week and it could have been a lot worse. And they knew they had to get a result today. And I feel that that is an improvement from last season. Listen, there's still 6 games to go, obviously, but I like those little signs that they can bounce back quickly.
Yeah.
Especially after a Champions League exit, which is never easy. But I think at the end of the day, they didn't have the greatest Champions League campaign this season. They didn't light up the Champions League. It was their first year back in the Champions League for quite some time. And they had to earn that right to get back in the Champions League, which isn't easy. It's a different animal, the Champions League. I think for them to have been knocked out that way and gotten a result away at Wolves tells you that they have come a long way. They've come a long way, and that, it's those type of games that change the perception of the team, the perception of the manager. I think they've improved defensively over this season, and you know, they might just fall short still. We don't know, but for me, the team is still on an upward trajectory, and that's the most important thing.
Does today change anything around Arsenal and their title chances?
It's a great response from a bad week. Villa was poor.
Yeah.
Munich was poor. Away from home, you haven't got the comfort of the Emirates. You're on the road, and it wasn't vintage. It wasn't, and the game was in the balance for a long, long period until that Odegaard goal in injury time. I mean, it's one mistake. I mean, it was a 1 point Saliba turned with a couple of minutes to go. Turned to his own goal. I thought he was going to pass it back. There was a Wolves player there. Luckily for him, he spotted it. So you're one major mistake away from throwing it away. But all you can do is bat the ball back over the other side of the net for the opposition. And that's what they've done.
Yeah.
Liverpool tomorrow and then City in midweek. And I think when Arsenal... People say, well, Arsenal haven't been great and maybe they're faltering a little and all that sort of stuff. They've got 3 points. And when anybody looks at City and Liverpool, can we look at them, both of those teams, and say, wow, indestructible. They are not. So Arsenal can do no more, as I say. The only thing that mattered today was not have 3 defeats in a week or 3 bad performances in a week. And they managed to thwart that. And it's over to you, Liverpool and Man City.
It's exactly right, Frankie. They avoided that banana skin today. They go back from the Molineux with 3 points. Now it's focusing on Chelsea on Tuesday.
Yeah, they did the job, and it wasn't easy because the first 40 minutes of the game, they were, for me, they were in control, but they weren't dangerous, and they were not the enthusiastic Arsenal that we are normally seeing. They were struggling because of what they had in their head, because of the 2 losses before in the week. But they showed character today, and it's what matters. They scored 2 goals in 2 crucial times, and they did what they had to do. They went very stronger in the second half. I think Arteta talked to them, and he said, you have to go higher on the field. You have to put more pressure on the Wolves team, and it's what they did. And for like 20 minutes, we went back to what we know about Arsenal, being very strong, creative. And after, they went down a little bit again, but they managed to score with Odegaard's goal and to secure the score. That's as Kieran said, that's what matters right now. Getting the 3 points, keeping on working hard, and getting the confidence back after 2 losses. So, yeah, they did the job.
Who's winning the league, Kieran?
It's so tough to call. It's really tough to call.
So putting people in the spot like that.
Oh, no. I mean,
I've still got my $50 bet with Stevie, so...
Yeah, you mentioned that about a minute before we came on air. Like, I give her stuff.
Yeah.
She said, what about my bet with Stevie? I said, I don't know.
Look, he still had Manchester City. Quite clear favourites. 94 on, 72 for Arsenal. Liverpool, the outsiders.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Arsenal playing again on Tuesday, if they get a result against Chelsea... Well, how many points will that be?
That's 4 points clear. Well done, Kieran, yeah.
I think that, you know, they might just nick it. They might.
3 plus 1 equals.
I'm not in the business of belittling people here, as you're doing it.
I think they've both got tough. They've all got tough run-ins.
Right, Brighton, you know, but City play after Arsenal, don't they?
Thursday. They play Brighton away.
So you're looking at Brighton up and down in different seasons.
Yeah.
Forest fighting for their lives. I think they might have dropped some points here last year. Who the hell knows?
Good.
Well. And then it's not... I mean, look, it's all on paper, isn't it?
It is all on paper. So who's going to win the league, Kieran?
I'm still going to say Arsenal.
Because you used to play for Arsenal?
Well, because I got my bet with Stevie, so there's no point...
Well, that's not the analysis
who's
that we want to hear,
Garcia
is it?
Who's got a bet with?
Say again? Who's what?
Luis Garcia got a bet with.
I don't know who Luis... I got a bet with.
What are we going to do with these guys? We need to get some electrodes in their head or something. Try and sort of convince them.
I bet with Don Hutchinson. He bet that Arsenal wouldn't finish in the top four. So that's that was a layup.
I'll tell you what, I wished I was here that day.
I know. I'd have
waded right in.
You've got to jump in as well. Meanwhile, significant results at the bottom of the Premier League for Burnley. Maybe still a little bit of hope given the victory they got today. They won 4-1 away... Against Sheffield United. Meanwhile, Luton Town were thrashed at home against Brentford, meaning...
How many points do you get for a win?
Three, Kieran. There we go. So as it stands, Luton, Burnley, Sheffield United and three teams going down. Brentford, fine. Obviously, they had that wobble, but they should be OK.
Palace are good.
Palace are good. Forest very much looking over their shoulder.
But there's still... It's ambiguous. There's still these appeals to be heard about points.
Yes.
Deductions.
Yes, there is.
The Premier League need to sort this out.
It's all ambiguous.
Three or four games away from the end of the season and we're still talking about points deductions and appeals. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous.
OK, all right, there we go.
You seem very disinterested.
Well, what we can do. Frank LaBeouf will be back with us on Extra Time. You can always check that out over on our YouTube channel. There's Craig's guns. Look at those. Oh, showing off in front of Ian.
Ian's internet.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And that brings us to the end then to today's show. Be sure to stay tuned though as... Are you all right? Kieran's going to wake up. Frank LaBeouf will be here as well to answer your questions in Extra Time. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you for your questions. Craig is here, Kieran.
Wyndham.
So, you know.
Wyndham.
I'm just enjoying a nice relaxing time with Burley, not nagging me about Arsenal.
Oh, yeah, that's fair enough. That's all right. Given that you've been influenced by Kieran in the past with what you wear, would you be tempted to go with this outfit?
That's a stretch.
In the future?
Burley.
But I reckon I could pull it off.
Could you fit in that jacket? Could you fit in the jacket?
You want to try it?
No, because you've got a mic on.
That's all right, you can take the mic off, I'm sure.
It's a large, you should be able to.
I'll tell you what, if I fit in this, I'm going to wear this for the classical.
Right, here we go. This is what everyone tuned in for. Beautiful. How are you, Frank? How was Miami?
That was great.
Come on. You got to put me in there.
Yeah, you're in Gibbs, but I was told he was in somewhere around, you know?
Yeah.
So I spent that 10 days with my lovely wife. That was spectacular. That was lovely.
Oh,
yeah,
beautiful. Look at this.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh,
no,
it looks like...
No, no,
yes.
No.
Oh, look at that.
No, it doesn't work. No, no. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, go to the positive corner, you know.
There you are.
Oh,
beautiful.
My God. No.
Frankie, this just shows you I'm a mannequin, pull anything off. Nothing.
Yeah, yeah, that's what you believe.
Oh, man. Kieran, why didn't you meet up with Frank in Miami when he was there?
You're a bit fucked.
Frank, you never told me.
Oh.
This is too big for me.
Is it the style?
No, it's a bit snug on you, but you actually pull it off, Craig.
Can you do the buttons up?
What?
Can you do the buttons up?
Of course I can do the buttons up.
No, no, don't try. Don't try, Craig. Don't try.
That's one of those cameras at the end.
Come on, look at look at that.
Oh, beautiful.
I tell you what, I could be... Where are we going tonight?
Oh, God.
Where are we going tonight, by the way?
You're going to be in
you
bed
go
by
home.
Eight.
You go home.
You'll build the green marble and
your missus is going to be upset. You go home.
Frank, okay. You never told me you were in Miami.
Yeah, why didn't you tell Kieran you were there?
No.
I
was in a romantic trip. I'm very sorry, Kieran. You know, where you weren't part of it.
Oh, very nice.
Say no more.
You're not getting a bump.
Okay.
I don't know if it's me.
No, I think it is. I think it is.
Really?
I think it is.
Don't say that. Craig, with your Chelsea ways, do you feel today's performance can propel them to a top six finish?
He's loving it. Look.
I know. He's looking at himself in the TV. Every time he glances, he's like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Right. Top six.
What?
Can they do it?
Newcastle, United. No.
No. No.
No.
There we go. Does Liverpool cash in for most?
Hey, what? Hey. Smells a bit.
It's called fragrance. It's called fragrance, Craig.
Where's the normal burly musk? Right. Does Liverpool cash in for Mo Salah this summer or keep him, Frank? What would you do?
It's always... Well, we had that question, I think, last year. And I think Stevie would say the right answer. If you can get 100 million or 150 million for Mo Salah at that age, you should take it because... But sooner or later, he's going to leave, and this may be a good opportunity to get money and maybe bet on some other players. It's sad because Mo Salah is still at the top, but it's a huge opportunity to get a lot of money.
How much should Xavi Alonso, Kieran, play as regulars in Bundesliga matches to stay sharp for the Europa League? So first off, as a player, would you care about being the first unbeaten team ever in the history of the Bundesliga?
Would I care about it?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
So given that, you would go hell for leather for both Bundesliga and Europa League?
Yeah. I would, because the players aren't going to risk themselves, you know. They're not going to go into silly challenges. They're not going to do anything to scupper their chances for the Europa League. So I would.
Frank, what percentage chance do you give PSG completing a Ligue 1, Coupe de France and Champions League treble?
Well, I never thought it would be possible, you know, and they are in the semi-final, and, you know, it's kind of a destiny when you see Mbappe going to Real Madrid, mm-hmm. and you feel that there is a possibility to have a final with Real Madrid and Paris Saint-Germain, and maybe some people want that to happen, so it's possible. They're going to win the Liga. Of course, they can win the Coupe de France. They are three games away from winning the Champions League, so... You know, you always need to lose one time, and they did.
What percent,
3 years
people,
ago?
People want them, they demand a percentage.
Do they get mad?
I give them. I give them. They play against. They play against Dortmund. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
I would say 40%.
40% to do the treble.
Hey.
Yes.
What have you found? Some money?
Cards.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
Phone numbers. I wouldn't be going there.
Craig, is Trossard one of the most underrated players in the league? Only Saka has more goals for Arsenal this year, and Trossard has scored some key goals. Why doesn't he get talked about as much as Jesus or Martinelli?
I think he's made a much bigger impact than Jesus.
Yep.
Yeah, Martinelli's been a starter for a long time. He's a little bit recently. But Leandro Trossard, and I've said this in the show last week, there's few players at any club. He's a manager's dream in a sense that I'm sure he's not happy when he doesn't start, but when he hasn't started, generally if Arsenal needed him, he's made an impact.
Yeah.
Come on, he's created something or he's scored an important goal. Obviously, he was a bit lucky today with his goal, but he's certainly been a player that when they signed him, you went, how's that going to work out? We don't know. Been a very, very astute signing.
What do you think of him, Kieran?
I think he's outstanding. One of my favourite signings. It's difficult that he doesn't play more. I think that's the reason why he's probably not spoken about as much, because he doesn't start as many games. But you do need, every manager needs those players.
Right.
And the amount of times he's done it and not complained, is a credit to him, to be honest. I think he gets into any team in the league. He gets into any team in the league. I think.
Well, he doesn't get into the Arsenal team.
No, as in he should be. with the goals that he's scored and the impact that he's had,
This has been my best signing.
Oh, holy Bennett, look at that, it takes years off.
Craig. I have a question for Craig. Can you repeat what just Kieran said, because you were only thinking about the jacket that you were wearing?
No, he wasn't listening to a word. Yeah. He was too busy looking at himself in the mirror.
Do you know what he said?
Thinking if you could do the buttons up.
I don't.
You know what he said?
No, don't put the pressure on them.
Do you know what he said, Frank? He said, shut up, Frank.
Kieran, is Ivan Toney or Ollie Watkins the right striker for Arsenal?
Just flexible I am.
I think I would prefer Ollie Watkins.
Right.
If I had to pick between the two, because I feel that Ollie has the ability to play wide, whereas I don't think Ivan Toney would be as effective out wide. I think he's just an out and out nine.
Can't call him Ollie, Craig will get angry.
Yeah.
Why?
Because he doesn't like people using first names.
This is a job.
Yeah, but
it's not a friends meeting.
No.
But I know him. I know him.
Huh?
But I know him.
I don't care if he's your girl. Yeah. I don't care if he's your... All right, Gibbs. Speak to Thomas. That's a first name, though, isn't it?
But I would like to see other areas. I would like to see them go for other strikers.
I'd like
to see who else is out there in the market.
Who do you want?
But I always struggle to pronounce his name, but the young kid from Sporting. Gyökeres.
Okay.
I like the look of him.
All right, there we go.
Well, we've no idea.
I don't know his first name. Yeah. I don't know him.
You don't know his first name? I'm like Ollie. All right, Ollie,
Craig.
How are you doing?
Here he is.
That's Craig, his first
God's
name.
Sake.
He's been away on holiday. He's got a lot of catching up to do.
He's been on a romantic holiday.
I know, romantic holiday. Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it, guys. That was nice. And I couldn't see Lionel. I'm very sorry.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Lionel Messi.
Lionel down there.
Lionel.
Craig and Kieran, have you gotten around to doing your rowing machine race? Now would be the perfect time since Kieran is in the studio.
Well, he definitely is not doing it in this jacket. Well,
do you see a rowing machine in the studio? I don't see it.
No, that's very true. That was it.
Put one in my basement, for other members of the family.
And right.
I was toying with going down and getting back on it again.
Okay, and then what happened?
I went and got around to it.
And the green mile started, and that was that.
And then the green mile popped on AMC, and I went, maybe another day.
There you are, see that?
I'll go for my 12th
Okay, that is it.
You're impressed, aren't you?
That brings us to the end of today's show. Frank, lovely to have you back. We're really busy tomorrow.
Finish that sentence.
What?
Said no one.
ESPN FC, they're back. Kieran's going to... You're not on the show, actually, tomorrow, are you?
Yeah, you're not.
Lazy.
No.
Lazy. We will be doing commentary Manchester United, though. Then, of course, it's the Clásico, and then everything you need to know from what happens on Sunday on ESPN FC. You going to keep that?
Huh? No, I'm just going to keep the phone number. It's in there.
Oh, yeah, right.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at LectricEbikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LectricEbikes.com.